Hello, AfterBuzz Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at the Season 3 finale, Season 3, Episode 7, The Legend Begins, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
It was a zombie jamboree.
We can't not be smart, Alex,
when it comes to picking opening music for this show. Let's be completely real. And we have space zombies, you guys.
That is now definitely canon.
This season was crazy.
Amongst the many, many things that were canon, multiverses being absolutely true,
space zombies was not something I was expecting.
Space zombies. And space zombies that were formed out of poisoning people with quintessence?
Was it quintessence or was it like... No Face from Spirited Away? I don't know.
It's a little unclear. I'm pretty sure
it was like Blob Cthulhu that did a good chunk of that. Let's be real.
You know that's what we're building up to after this episode. You know we're gonna, like, the big bad of the series will be Cthulhu.
Will be Blob Cthulhu, yes.
Monster.
Kablobthu. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV. I almost said the AfterBuzz TV Zombie After Show. That is not
zombie.
That's only vaguely correct.
I hope you guys are here for anything zombie. Related, we're going to talk about Walking Dead, Z Nation, iZombie, Resident Evil, Night of the Living Dead, just anything
Shaun
zombie,
of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, exactly.
Cobalt says the Walking Sheroes.
Yep. We might even throw in a little like I Am Legend because in the it's a little. Yeah.
They, I mean, sort it's of zombies, sort of vampires, but they kind vampires. Of became more zombie esque in the Will Smith movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the Voltron After Show. Welcome back.
We talk about zombies
season
all the time.
Season 3 finale. We are looking at Season 3, Episode 7, The Legend Begins, and we're already off to a rollicking start. I have with me, of course, Red Lion Emma Fife.
Yes, that's me. I'm Emma Fife, but you can find me on the internet at my name, which is Emma Fife.
Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
Our legs have split tonight. Yellow Lion, Mark Donica is just a torso. We're just a torso flying through space. We're kind of MODOK. Yellow Lion, Mark Donica is on a solo mission. You can find him at, what is it still Soapbox Mark on Twitter?
Mark B. Donica.
Mark B. Donica. And our Blue Lion, Alexis Torres, is on a well-deserved vacation with her own personal merman. You can find her to the beach planet. You can find her at atorres890. And I am Katie Cullen, the Black Lion. You can follow me all over social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have our hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron, with a fan art for our after show, which... I just lost my mind over. Thank you, Hero of Pessonite. Holy
so
cow,
great.
That's amazing. New desktop background.
Absolutely.
And we also have our YouTube live chat. If you guys have anything fun to say, if you have any questions, comments, ridiculous puns, fun Photoshops, anything fun like that, throw them a hashtag, throw them the live chat. You may well get a shout out. Before we get going, I want to get started. We have a nice little network announcement.
Ooh, what does the network announcement say?
AfterBuzz TV, new directions. Not to be confused with One Direction. We're going in several.
When I heard New Directions, I was like, is that a new boy band?
Bless you.
It is sadly not BTS.
So here we go. As always, we thank you so much for your support, and we actually have some exciting news from AfterBuzz. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime AfterBuzz fan, you'll know that we're the world's number one destination for TV coverage. Well, starting next month, we'll be expanding our content beyond just aftershows to bring you a whole new slate of content, formats, and guests. Our aftershows aren't going anywhere, they're simply evolving. Most of the shows you love only air for part of the year, but during the rest of the year, these shows have news constantly breaking that you want to talk about, so as the ESPN of TV talk, we know it's our job to cover it. We'll have in-depth show coverage. I'm good at reading.
You can do it.
For comedy, drama, animated, truly anything you can imagine, nothing is off limits. And given our no limits approach to TV coverage, we realize that sometimes it can be hard to find the shows you love, and we listened. We're restructuring the website, shows, and our platforms to make it easier to find what you're looking for. Our YouTube channel will be divided into 9 sections by genre. Dramas, comedies, reality competition, wrestling and sports, animation, sci-fi / fantasy / superheroes, yes, that is one genre, red carpets, and lastly, our own featured and original content. There's a lot to be excited excited about, but it won't happen all overnight. As we develop, we'll be experimenting to cater to your TV desires, which means your participation and feedback will be essential to deliver these custom shows. To keep up to date with everything, be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter launching in September and check out our show AfterBuzz Weekly with Megan Stetcher. So, you know how we've been telling you guys to leave reviews on iTunes to show that you love the show? This is one of those reasons why.
Yep.
So yes, if you like us and would like us to continue to be around for season 4 in October, which is like a month away, head to iTunes, leave a review, subscribe, rate 5 stars, all of that fun stuff. It helps us out as a show, and it helps other people find us as a show as something to tide them over the month-long hiatus until next season. Like,
I still can't believe.
Wasn't the last season in January?
It was a while ago, yeah.
It was. It was definitely more than a month and a half gap in between stuff.
I mean, as sad as I am that this season was only 7 episodes, if I only have to wait a month in between seasons, I'm almost okay with
that. And even though to me it feels very clear that this episode we're discussing today feels like it should have been a second to last episode of the season. We should have ended in the present, not with a flashback. However, I will say, it's really easy to binge 7 episodes of a 23-minute show. Yeah, so.
I really do feel like we hit the halfway point of a season and that we just kind of put the other half over here for season
later. It definitely feels like a halfway mark, for sure.
Give you a couple months to chew on it instead of half a year, and then we'll give you the rest when it's properly digested. And you can come to terms with the fact that our big bads are space zombies and that Voltron is interdimensional, and every single world that you can think of is probably canon because... Hashtag multiverse theory. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, it's all canon.
It's all canon, you guys. That is some great and terrible power. Use it wisely.
But yeah, there's kind of a lot to unpack with this. I think this episode is great for a number of reasons, mostly because it finally answers questions we've been having ever since we were introduced to Zarkon and Hagar.
What is a Voltron? How do we Voltron? And the answer is nobody ever really knew.
Yeah.
We're just figuring out as we go along.
That was kind of fun, too. It's like even the original team had no idea what they were doing, just like our team.
Basically, the impression I got was Alfor built these lions and went... I don't know. I just kind of made them cool looking. That's it.
Lions, you got. And you.
Can I just say that when he's showing everyone their new ships, again, which at this point, they have no idea connect together. Nobody called him out on the fact that they were lions. Mm-hmm. No one said anything about the, but why lions, though?
Yeah.
Apparently, Altea is familiar with the concept of cats.
Right.
We have a cat.
That is true.
That has lived to be 28 years old, because why use veterinary care when you can give it planet juice?
Sometimes dead is better.
Some people should not be pet owners.
I don't know. I would give my cats planet juice if I thought they'd live forever.
I've seen Pet Cemetery. I know. Sometimes dead is better.
This is some crazy Pet Cemetery business, especially since I'm pretty sure that's the same cat that's still running around 10,000 years
later. 100% the same cat.
100%. That's horrifying.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And I'm like, I love cats and I volunteer at a cat shelter. So this is like, this is what we're doing with this cat. And I'm like...
Whoa. It found a forever home.
Forever and ever and ever.
But nobody bats an eyelash at the fact that Alfor just built lions that can fly.
That's very true. I didn't even really... I mean, to me, it did strike me as odd that he built these lions and then found out that they could combine into something... greater
like
than
that wasn't
himself.
Part of the design. You know what it probably was? I think because Altaians have such like a mystical connection with their technology.
Sure. Alchemists. It's, they're not scientists.
Yeah, they're not
alchemists.
It's honestly probably something that was destined to happen, or something like within the life stream of the planet or something. It's
absolutely
an extension of like the universe itself.
Well, because
probably.
As Katie brings up this idea of them being more alchemists rather than scientists, they are taking organic material essentially and creating something out of it that from an outsider perspective certainly looks to be robotic, but from what we know of the paladins and the sort of relationships that they have with their lions that is beyond simply somebody piloting a mobile suit, that there is an element of magic and nature and mysticism yeah. involved.
Well, and I love even the word choice for this, because we would normally think of it as scientists and knights and priests, mm-hmm. and instead we have alchemists and paladins.
Whew, I don't know what they put in that cold medicine, but it's good.
And druids. So just the choice of words, the choice of titles brings in an element of mysticism that we normally wouldn't think of for knights or soldiers or priests or scientists.
In my world, science and magic are one and the same.
Oh my God.
He's a friend from work!
Well, maybe to kind of like throw, and this is definitely probably delving a little bit more into theories territory, mm-hmm. but it's also possible that Voltron itself is an interdimensional constant. Like, it's entirely possible, because they built Voltron out of this interdimensional material.
That's true.
Entirely possible that Voltron just is across all universes.
Yeah.
Every dimension has a Voltron.
Right, and that in some other dimension...
It's whales.
Yeah, sure, it's whales, it's dinosaurs, it's whatever it needs to be.
But that interdimensional Voltron is occasionally the Megazord.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, obviously.
I would watch that show.
Obviously.
We did in the 90s. It was called Power Rangers.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing. Actually, it was called Super Sentai, and then America took it, but it's fine. Literally exactly what happened with Voltron. With Voltron, it was Go Lion and
lots of
other things.
I like the one where
they
dressed
and...
like ninjas.
The one, this season, they dressed like ninjas too.
Oh, I meant the one like way back.
Yeah, when they first
multiple seasons where they dressed
like ninjas. The first one with the ninjas.
Ninjas are pretty common, actually, in Power Rangers.
I have to bring this up because this is hilarious and I didn't think of it. Harriet Sang in chat says, I can't believe Alfor didn't realize there was a face in the mouth of a black lion. Like, yeah, it's not weird at all.
How did you miss that?
It's impossible. Wow.
It's entirely possible. Again,
the face is only there in certain circumstances.
It's entirely possible, again, if we're dealing with transmutation magic, that, like, the face only actually forms in very specific circumstances when they actually form Voltron.
# Schrodinger's face. It is both there and not there at all times.
Law of equivalent exchange is more of what I was thinking.
Can we?
You can just reshape the metal, that's all.
Let's talk about our past paladins. I love that Alfor was pretty much Leroy Jenkins. This makes me ridiculously happy, and I do think that Altaian science/alchemy is really just a case of, well, why not? Why wouldn't I make giant ships shaped like lions out of this comet? Why
That's
not?
That's the least
why
weird thing I've made this week.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I drunk dial hell? Let's see who replied. Why not?
It does kind of feel that way.
Please don't drunk dial hell. That's how you get Pinhead, you guys.
I also will
say... Do you want
say...
Pinhead? Because that's how you get Pinhead.
I also will say that I understand that with Voltron that they were trying to recreate what we saw in the original series to a certain extent. Certainly all of the characters who are piloting the lions, they share names with the characters from the original series and definitely pay homage to those characters. But seeing this past Voltron and this whole alien regime of paladins, it made me a little sad that they're all basically human.
I love that I'm a leg is a constant.
It is.
That is
it
also
there's
a
always
constant.
Just this realization of legness.
It is kind of a bummer that we don't get the prequel series to what we have.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, King Alfor and Zarkon, you know, and their team and the story of Zarkon and... Minerva.
Yeah.
Falling in love and everything like that. There's so much there that we still haven't unpacked. But oh my gosh, I would totally watch a series where they grow and develop as friends.
100%.
Save the universe and then have this tragic downer ending.
I would watch that TV program.
At least I would have liked for this flashback. And I thought this flashback was done extremely well, but I would have loved if it had been a two-parter, kind of like in Legend of Korra when we found out the story of the first Avatar Wand.
Yes. Who knows? It might be.
That is 100% true.
Because there are plenty of questions that are still unanswered.
That's very true,
and
Megan.
I have...
Like all of them.
Yeah.
Again, I have some... I have a thing that I think is like belongs in theories, but like something I want to talk about at some point.
Yeah.
I just... Good God.
quintessence poisoning, for one. Onerva just kind of losing her mind. Mm-hmm. And Zarkon being unable to say no to his wife. And probably pretty poisoned himself at that point.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But also probably being the head of the planet with the most military might of the five. He's always been Emperor Zarkon.
Can we talk about how adorable it was the first time he saw her?
Oh my god!
Date you a man who's scared of your cat.
Listen, there were a lot of really cute character moments in the early part, the sort of earlier half of this episode. I loved when they were all sitting around the table having dinner, and the guy who ended up becoming the Blue Paladin was straight up like flirting with that Gaara soldier. It was so good.
Like, can you maybe not flirt with the serving class?
Yeah,
he's not worried about that.
Hey, baby, why don't you join us? It was so good.
It was so funny. It's so funny to just see, like, again, why our current Paladin crew, how much they parallel the Paladins of old. Another really cute moment was when Emperor Zarkon is giving Princess Allura a gift.
Oh my god, and it's that helmet, though.
It's Lotar's helmet from the original series! It is just so precious.
Well, and there were all kinds of little nods to the original series. Of course, Lotar's helmet being a big one of them. And then Honerva is Hagar's name from Golion.
Yeah.
She was Sorceress Honerva.
Wow. Yep. That I did not know. Yep. That is really great. And Hagar has had amnesia this whole time? She woke up a zombie and that's been that?
Well, and it seems to me that Zarkon doesn't have any recognition of her having been Honerva either, but I can't 100% confirm that, but that was certainly what I felt like, was that both of them, when they were revived, had Honerva, as far as I can tell, had no memory whatsoever, and then Zarkon has very selective memory.
I feel like Zarkon probably had a fairly complete memory. I doubt as to how recent it would have been, but he remembered Voltron. He remembered his planet. He remembered his planet. He remembered the Fisher. Fisher's not the word they used, but I'm not firing on all cylinders tonight.
A lot of things.
Remembered a heck of a lot more than her.
I think the implication was because she had been so deteriorated from the quintessence poisoning prior to them getting killed by it. I think that means that her mind was far more gone than his it happened. And so he retained a lot more of his sense of self than she did. And this is where maybe this belongs in theories, but I kind of have a lot of questions, again, about when Lotor happened, as you put it, Katie. Because I'm thinking...
How? When?
Part of me wants to say that the reason, she dove into science and her work is because they had a child and they lost it. And then, you know, and so she chose to, delve into science and made, you know, her work her life. That could very well not be the case. She doesn't need a dead child to,
motivate her to be totally dedicated to her work.
Yeah,
she was already dedicated to it before they got married.
Granted.
It was a customary gift, whatever.
This is, yeah. Well, it was interesting to me
that
she was the one that went down that deep, dark path, and Zarkon only did because of her.
Yeah, he followed her.
He did.
And he didn't ever say no to his
And he would follow her to the end of the earth, of the universe.
He straight up Lion Kinged his dying wife into the rift with Cthulhu right there. Yeah.
Also thought it is interesting, the whole question of Lotor and... When did he happen? Yeah. Where did he come from?
Is he also 10,000 years old?
Nobody really knows at this point. And of course, if this were not a kid's show, which technically it is a kid's show, I would also question whether or not he is Honerva's son.
I actually question that. That's entirely possible that he's not her son.
Yeah.
I definitely think he's half Altaian, though.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely that, because we know we need an Altaian to use a Teladov, and he is collecting Teladov between Aksha being in the Weblum and between picking up that lens. And I just said a whole bunch of words that weren't English.
I just had this moment of, it's lingo time.
I did have a thought, though. It's entirely possible that he was, around a teenager or in his 20s or something when both of his parents died. And here's my question is, how long after they died were they resurrected? Because I'm wondering if one of the reasons why he was exiled is if it had been just long enough for him to have been pronounced as the new emperor, and then Emperor Zarkon comes back to life and goes, no, 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 you tried to take my throne while I was asleep. You're exiled.
That's
now.
Legit, man.
Here's some quintessence to keep you alive while you're, you know, hey, come dude. Home on the weekends to do your laundry and get a hit of quintessence. But aside from that, you're exiled.
Kobold in chat says, Lotor wants to cure his parents of quintessence. I doubt that's the case.
Yeah.
Lotor probably knows how ridiculously powerful quintessence makes his dad.
I actually would be disappointed if that was the storyline, because it would make Lotor less evil, and I like him really evil.
It really changes what they've shown of us so far. Like, we've already one not complete about face, but we've definitely had, well, I'm presenting like this, but I'm actually absolutely sending him out to the ice worms and then completely hosing this guy later. Yeah. So, well, I'm not the nice guy I pretended to be.
And I sort of like the bookending we had in this season of, in the first episode, when you are introduced to Lotor, you do have that moment of feeling like, man, he's so charismatic,
yeah.
And maybe he really does, maybe I kind of do
like,
believe in
believes,
his ideals.
Maybe he does have a sense of honor.
But he totally does not. And actually, it's Zarkon who has the sense of honor and loyalty. So I like the revelation that Lotor is actually the evil one and Zarkon wasn't always bad.
And it's kind of interesting, too, because Lotor, as far as we know, is not suffering from quintessence poisoning. It's just, you know, it's his parents who were driven mad by the mm-hmm. substance, and he's just evil and ambitious because of, like, I guess the circumstances that life has put him in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it depends on when he came along. It's possible he didn't come around till afterwards for one reason or another and has always grown up in the Empire. We did this to Altea. We did this. We deserve this. Yeah. We whatever.
And I'm still willing to like, include it in my list of theories on my murder board that he's actually not this
Purple
universe's
thread.
Lotor. I'm definitely still holding on to the fringe theory at some point that he's actually a Lotor from another universe.
Good lord, that would be amazing. Wilfred Cartano in chat says, Lotor is really a Targaryen.
Yes, yeah, actually.
He just wants his dragons.
Right, right. Zarkon had his marriage annulled to Minerva.
He's got the
married
white hair.
To another Targaryen. And, you know, the Targaryens are such a powerful family that that Lotor took on their name, and it all makes perfect
sense. He's just asking his generals where his boat's at,
right,
where his dragon's at. Where's his boats? Where's his dragon?
He does have the hair.
He does. He's got the good Targaryen hair.
Yeah.
Good lord. Wow. We are way in the weeds right now.
Are we?
Can't say
or are we
not
closer to the truth than we've ever been?
I know.
So, does your murder board have purple thread?
One color for every paladin and purple for all the Galra stuff.
There's just a jumble
There's
of black thread
red.
In the corner where Project Caron happens to be.
Oh, that's
bunch
a
of question
board.
Marks.
That's
a spider
board.
Hanging down from it. It's catching flies.
That's a separate board. You can't lump that in with everything else.
Oh man. And can we talk about drunk dialing hell? Can we talk about drunk dialing hell and getting a hold of Blob Cthulhu?
Yeah, what universe did they go knocking on?
I have no
Do we
idea.
Want to know?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because that was full, like, Princess Mononoke, Nightwalker gone wrong.
Yeah, it was definitely very Miyazaki, for sure. Like I said, I was very much reminded of No Face. It reminded us, I feel like a lot like the lizard one in season one. It felt like it was kind of like a prototype angel sort
yeah.
of deal in terms of just that being that like very alien otherworldly monster that just wants to destroy everything in its path.
Well, and I have to wonder if that isn't where Hagar draws some of the inspiration for the Robies. Like, she may not be cognizant of it, she may not remember up top, but subconsciously I'd be surprised if she ever completely forgot.
Well,
and so it's like, what if we did a thing that shot lasers from its face? Where have I seen that before? I don't think I have. I'm just brilliant. Go, lizard!
Well, it's also entirely possible that, I mean, I hate to say it, that she and Zarkon are this creature now. Like,
You're probably right. I mean,
that it's kind of it like kind the of Borg. Did.
Yeah, it's kind of like just... the Borg or like the Thing, but they've maintained their sense of sentience in some capacity.
Interesting.
Or even if it's not straight up them, it's definitely influenced them.
Sure.
Because they both have weird glowy eyes now. They're both quintessence zombies.
Was the quintessence part of Cthulhu Blob Monster?
I don't think so. With yes, because it seems to hang out in this rift. And the rift is also kind of where they're drawing quintessence.
I kind of feel like this thing is just feeding off of quintessence, though. I'm wondering if this thing is either, again, a part of them, or if it's puppeting them from across the void. Like, again, they were able to destroy the rift, but I don't think the creature itself was destroyed.
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it is Zarkon and Hagar, or if it's just, like... If it's, again, kind of very, very gingerly controlling them from another dimension to try to get them, again, to open up the rift so that it can destroy another universe. I don't know.
Well, and that would make a lot of sense. Like, I'm this creature. I'm controlling two of the most powerful figures in this dimension who have conquered most of this dimension at this point. At some point, all you need is for another rift to open, and you can just step through and be like, dibs.
Yeah.
Like, all of this, all these things that you conquered, yeah, they're all mine now because these two are my puppets.
Yeah. And we've already seen interdimensional conquest as a motive for not unthinking, unfeeling monsters, you know, for just normal Altaians. We've seen that as a motive. Like, could you imagine just what an unending destructive force would want to do with the multiverse?
Horrifying, horrifying things.
Straight up like the Adventure Zone, the Hunger sort of deal.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking of. Thank you. I'm sitting here going, all right, we got this. Like, I'm thinking of Pacific Rim, but it's not quite Pacific Rim. Yeah, it's the Hunger. And Zarkon is John.
Oh, sad. Sad day.
Yep. Wow. Okay. There we are.
But again, I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall here, guys. I have no idea.
I'm enjoying the spaghetti a lot.
I do think, too, because we were talking about Hagar and Zarkon being sort of potentially extensions of this Cthulhu blob monster, that Deadhood 94 in the chat brings up a good point of that could explain part of why Zarkon really wanted Voltron, because maybe it's, again, this greater evil in the universe.
That's why he's fixated on the Black Lion.
Maybe it's trying to claim all of the Voltrons across all the multiverses.
I honestly think that Zarkon's obsession with his ex is just that. Like, if his memory is fragmented, that he does remember the Black Lion as being his, he wants back everything that Alphor stole from him.
Little column A, little column B. Let's be real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's just very convenient for the blob monster.
Absolutely, that it's able to fixate on the fact that Zarkon does have this very vivid memory of himself being the paladin of the Black Lion.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before, like, sorry, I'm thinking of, like, the third Inuyasha movie where, like, the samurai gets brought back to life and, like, the demon that resurrects him forces him to fixate on, like, the one negative thing he could possibly fixate on.
Sure.
And so it's entirely possible that this evil blob monster worked the exact same way. It's like, what could I make this guy focus on? I could make him focus on his son. I could make him focus on his you know, deceased wife. I could make him focus on this. Or I could make him focus on the Black Lion, which he had a claim to, which can help me accomplish my goals.
And we have Timberwolf410 in chat theorizing that Shiro has been exposed or possibly overexposed to quintessence, which could explain the headaches, the messed up memories, the everything.
Ooh, Project Run.
What do you think powers that arm?
Yeah. Oh, snap, guys.
We're going to need to put together an actual physical murder board at this point. I mean, I know we're laughing about it, but we have the whiteboard. We need a cork board now.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that he's not, like, a science sleeper cell that had his brain. Like, it could be that, like, he's a blob monster sleeper cell. Oh, man. Yeah. This show is going to be the end of us. I'm sorry.
I know.
Even if I weren't on cold medicine right now, I think I'd still be a little mind blown. Like, holy hell.
Yeah.
I do like coming up with theories with
you guys. Absolutely. Thanks, DreamWorks. I mean, that's the point of having these very juicy flashback episodes is for you to agonize over little details of the show that haven't been explained fully at this point.
We're so far down this rabbit hole, we're in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Like, but I think these are all legit theories.
Oh, yeah. And again, multiverse, it's all true.
Also, I loved that girl, Green Paladin.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love her so much.
Oh, my God. Yes. Trigel.
Trigel?
Honestly, I have the names on the board. Wow. I wrote them down.
It's not a very convenient position for me to look at without being like, what's on the board?
Which is why the board is for me.
I gotta say, though, I love them all. Like,
yeah.
Again, that's one of the reasons why I would totally watch a prequel series, because they are all very lovable within, like, what, 2 minutes of getting introduced to
them? Again, yes, speaks to the strength of this creative team, because it is very reminiscent of the kind of creatures in the spirit world, when the spirit world was still kind of one with the regular world, that we saw in the flashback episodes with Avatar 1 and Legend of Korra. Like, they very much, their alien races within Voltron remind me of the spirits. And that's a good thing, because, again, you get these very unique, very expressive creatures whom you immediately have a base understanding of and care about on some level.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Blob Cthulhu looked a lot like the Face Stealer.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That's just a really good design to just immediately terrify people. Here it is. It's got a couple of limbs and is mostly blobby and a horrifying thing where the face should be. Yep. Nope. I'm out. Good night, everyone.
Yep.
That's a really good pushes all of your terror buttons design.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see this team do a straight up horror movie. Like, because again, we've seen them kind of dip their toes into that with certain episodes from Avatar and
with Voltron as well. I mean, there was that
Event Horizon.
That one episode was Event Horizon, but it was better than Event Horizon.
It was so much better than Event Horizon.
Don't watch Far Event Horizon.
Don't
guys.
Do it.
I disagree.
Watch the nostalgia critic review of Event Horizon.
Watch Event Horizon and then watch this and go, oh yeah, that's how it should have been.
Okay, depending on your gore level. If you're not very high on the gore level, don't watch Event Horizon. And we are wandering away from what our rating should be, because Event Horizon is not for children.
No, it's not. But again, it's one of those things where I feel like if they did a self-contained horror movie, like, this team could do it so well.
Oh my God, yes. And I mean, we had self-contained horror movie back in season 1, and I would be down for it again, because we have now introduced multiple dimensions, mm-hmm. horrifying Cthulhu hell beasts, zombies.
Well,
when you introduce purple zombies into a kid's show, you'd better be, oh my God, we have an emperor who's running on zombie juice. I just ran smack into the Transformers wall. How did I not realize this before? Oh my God, I mean, he's Megatron.
There's a lot of crossover with giant robot shows.
Does that make Rotor Starscream?
No.
He's smarter than Starscream,
but... As fabulous as Lotor's hair is, Starscream is a special kind of fabulous. Mm-hmm. And not to mention that, like, I feel like this horrifying blob monster / nega quintessence, I feel like it's very similar to Dark Energon, but that implies that there's a Unicron-esque character that it would be tied to, which, who knows, maybe it is.
We met them. It's black and has multiple limbs and fires lasers from its face hole.
I think Cthulhu's
a pretty
Voltron
good Unicron.
I don't know.
Does that make Voltron Primus?
I guess.
Maybe.
And the lions are all primes, kind of.
I don't know. I feel like we're crossing the streams a little too much. But, I mean...
Giant robots, you guys.
Giant robots.
Zombie dumpster fire we have from Ginger in the chat. You just burn some zombies. That's how you get rid of them.
BTW, this is a zombie in space movie I would totally watch. I feel like zombie in space movies... don't normally end up super great, but I would totally watch this one.
Oh my God. Okay. Is there anything that we haven't covered about this? Because I think we hit all of the points pretty well. I think the last thing we really need to hit on is that back at the murder ranch, Hagar has her memories back and Zarkon is now back in play.
Oh yeah. She basically...
We had a remember who you are Lion King moment.
That's 100% true. That's what happened. She wakes up at the end and was like, oh, right. we were totally married.
Wake up, husband!
How could I have forgotten? And then, like, yeah, it looks like Zarkon wakes up, which begs the question, if she's not Lotor's mom, then how exactly is that kind of going to affect their relationship? See,
again, I think it would be so interesting if she wasn't Lotor's mom, even though, again, I'm 90% sure that she probably is, because it would be so interesting
to figure out how.
Yes, to have a storyline of her being like, well, I gotta get rid of Lotor, because otherwise I'm not in power anymore.
And what? I wonder about the logistics of Lotor if Hagar isn't the mom, because... We presume that he's half Altaian.
Sure.
Someone has to run the Teladov, and he's kind of on the outs with Mom. So...
How's that going to work?
Are we going to kidnap Allura and go full 80s, or what are we going to do?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
We're not going to go full 80s.
I feel like if there is a romance there, that it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. I don't feel like they're going to go just full supervillain.
Screaming Kiki Waffle says, Lotor is adopted.
I mean, maybe. Admittedly,
half of chat has been theorizing for the past 30 minutes that Lotor is adopted.
It's entirely possible that, yeah, Zarkon took on a ward. It could very well be like a Game of Thrones sort of scenario where one of his generals in like one of the far stations or whatever wanted to do a coup. And he's like, hey, that's not cool. You know what? Your son's going to live with me.
Oh, like a Theon Greyjoy situation. Yeah.
Only, you know. Less terrible
right, less
than
terrible,
Theon.
Less terrible.
And then just as clip? He got older, he was like, yeah, you're proving to be just as much of a hassle as your dad. I'm just going to exile you.
Yeah,
which,
totally.
Let's be real, for a Galra is getting off easy.
Yeah.
Princess Pony says, plot twist, Lotor kidnaps Karan for the Teladon.
Amazing.
I were to watch that TV program. Kidnaps oh my Hulk. God.
Yeah.
Oh my, wow. I'd be down for this.
Again, it would be very interesting, although if I'm not mistaken, in the original Golion, Hagar was his mother, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been a long time since I've watched it.
This show is definitely, you know, free to take whatever liberties it wants, and they could use that
of course.
An intentional misdirect.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Candy Phone points out the distress signal Lotor sent was Altaian.
So, yeah, he's definitely half Altaian.
Right, and that also kind of addresses the idea that I'm... Who asked the question? I thought it was really good about does Lotor... Sorry, I can't give you credit because it's gone and I didn't take note of who said it, but asked about does Lotor know? And I think they meant, like, does Lotor realize that he is half Altaian and thereby... knows that he is able to use the Teladov. And I think, Katie, that you absolutely hit the nail on the head with he broadcast a Altaian signal, so yes, he does know.
Yeah. I feel like there's no way he doesn't. I feel like he's smart enough, even if he didn't know straight off, he's smart enough to have figured it out.
Ooh. Yeah, Beast Wars fan is totally right. In the original, Hagar is Zarkon's mother. She's like the grandma.
Okay, thank you for correcting
yes,
me.
That's
thank
right.
you.
I yeah,
knew
I
was
something
like, along
I don't
those
think
lines.
That's right, but thank you. That's absolutely
Which
correct.
Which means, again, that they have taken liberties and they can do whatever they want.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like that's a fair assessment.
Admiral Zainal Munir, whom I'm pretty sure I pronounced incorrectly, says, Hagar's different in Golion and Voltron 80s. She's only Lotor's mom in one of them.
Or Zarkon's mom?
Lotor's mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah. I would imagine Zarkon's mom in one and Lotor's mom in
the other. Oh, and again, this is not the first reincarnation of Voltron.
No.
There was Voltron
there
Force
many.
Also.
Yes, as we've discussed, there are several iterations of the show. I will also say that, like, the only other comment I want to make is that, like, she looked great rocking the Galra outfit.
She did.
When she was Empress. Dang. And not only that, but you pointed out, Katie, that, like, the shawl that she's wearing
is her shroud.
It was what was draped over her dead
oh
body.
Oh my god, mm-hmm. She's been wearing her shroud for 10,000 years. I mean, there's...
I love you. She wears it very well, though.
I mean, like, there's carrying your death on your back, and then there's that.
Yes. And it was Raindrops on Roses who brought up the question that I posed. Thank you for chiming in. I was trying to scroll back so I could give you credit for the question, because it was a good question. But yeah.
Good job, chat. You guys are on fire tonight. Mm-hmm.
Well,
good
Lord,
this has just been...
There it is.
It's pretty much been like 10% recap and 90% theories, and I'm pretty well down with this.
Yeah, me too.
Let's be real.
Definitely. I will be interested to see at the beginning of next season if we do get a follow-up flashback episode, if this is a two-parter, and we're going to get a little bit more of the history and how everything really, truly fell apart, because we haven't gotten to the point of everything being set on fire, really.
Not yet.
You know, yeah. So...
We kind of hand-waved a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, he came back to life, and then everything went to hell.
Yeah, did he also end the other paladins, who I imagine would have definitely tried to stop him after Alphor fell?
Oh,
yeah,
I am sure. Assuming that they were all dead, and that Alphor was the last to go, because we had that line about, you know, none of our peaceful planets were prepared. Zarkon's planet seemed to be one of the most technologically advanced and definitely had the biggest standing military.
Yeah.
Not to mention...
Which is a terrifying thing for someone to have, let's be real.
Can you imagine how awkward that would be if you were just, like, a Galra citizen who got evacuated and is hanging out with a bunch of Altaians, and then all of a sudden, the Emperor comes up on the screen and goes, "We shall have our revenge! We are at war now!" Like, that would be super awkward.
The fact that those people just kind of go along with it, like, well, he evacuated our planet, are we sure that we should just murder everyone on there? Oh, okay. Yeah. Boss says so. Well, so it's genocide o'clock.
And it's true. And it, as you say, the end of this episode, they did kind of just gloss over a few things. Again, it was basically like, oh, Zarkon's terrible, and now everything is terrible. Well, and Heywood Wong points out in the chat, we didn't actually see the other paladins dead. We just kind of assume because of this confrontation with Alphor that they were.
Unless they're a very long-lived species, they're all dead by now.
Yeah. Well, that's 100% true.
Let's be real.
And I'm going to go off on a limb and assume the blade of Mamura used to be a lot bigger than it is now.
I don't think that's going on too far of a limb. That's like a little baby close limb. Pretty safe.
Yeah. It's a stump. We're going out on a stump.
It's just a little twig sticking out of the tree.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have anything else to say for this episode, or should we hit up iTunes and then wrap it up?
I just want to say thank you, chat, for going along with all of our theorizing tonight, and to the many, many people who pointed out that, first of all, thank you again from Beast Wars fan who let us know that indeed Lotor is not the child of Haggar, because Zarkon is in the OG. That's awkward. But Lotor is, in fact, supposed to be half Altaian, and his mom was just kind of an unnamed Altaian lady.
Out there somewhere. All right. So, at the top of the show, we told you that iTunes reviews are the best way to show support to us as an after show. I'm doubling down on that because it is absolutely true. Our producers do look at this. They do look at the show's support. So, yes, we absolutely want to come back for season 4. And the best way you guys can do this is to go on iTunes, rate, subscribe, leave a review, all of that fun stuff. And, of course, we do give you a shout-out when you leave a review. I am picking a point and going because I'm pretty sure this is where I've left off. And if I'm wrong and I skipped you, I apologize in advance. But we have Even Better Than the Dumpster Fire for Energy Yin and Yang. This is my first podcast, and I've loved every second. I'm subscribed and have watched every episode at least 2 or 3 times. Poor Alexis is always getting broken, but I love watching these women and Mark get together and geek out. From Serious Theories to the Dumpster Fire, it's amazing, and I hope to someday get on a live stream so I can interact more. Someday, y'all. It's Time to Form Voltron from Bree TV 28, one of the best podcasts I've listened to. My boyfriend suggested Voltron to me, and I've been hooked ever since. I found this podcast and tune in as I watch. It is excellent. The hosts are smart, entertaining, and hilarious. Aww. If you love Voltron, you have to check this podcast out. All in caps, I love it, by Okamiya. <Yeah. laughs> This podcast is the highlight of my week. I'm not a very observant person, and I get to see things I've never saw before. Emma, Megan, Mark, Alexis, and Katie are all nerds, and I love them. Any fan should give this podcast a listen.
Yay!
Aww. So wonderful, from the Fire Paladin. I love that they not only give a great analysis of the show, but also bring in people who help make it happen into the discussion. Keep up the amazing work. And the Dumpster Fire Rages On, from Canisoda. I honestly thought you guys stopped making these, and I'm so happy to be proven wrong. I have so much fun listening to you guys. I love Voltron, and I love having a good laugh, so this podcast is perfect for me. Keep up the good work.
Aw, you guys
Thank you guys so much for that. Thank you so much for all of your support, for participating in the live chat, for putting stuff in the hashtag, guys. We do still check the hashtag between weeks and in the off-season, and I think one of my favorite things in it this week is the BuzzFeed article that someone photoshopped.
Oh my God.
This couple died.
Shut your quiz neck.
Yeah, thank you. Shut your quiz neck. This couple died together. What happened next will shock you. Like, bless you and your beautiful clickbait Photoshop.
I also love at Wonka's Badonkas. First of all, great Twitter handle. Tweeted us a photo of a green Volkswagen Bug with a green Paladin license plate holder. And now I want to find one for myself. Except my car is blue, but I'm just going to get a red one anyway.
I mean, my car is white, but I would totally get a green Paladin license plate holder.
I would just rock one that says filling in for Shiro.
Nice.
And again, Hero of Hessenite, oh my God, thank you for the art. It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. Thank you so much.
Yes, I think this is all we have for the night. We obviously have some discussion to do for the new format, but with any luck, we will be back in this form for season 4. We'll see. It depends on discussions and your guys' support. So thank you guys so much for watching. Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. You can also check me out on Collider TV Talk over at Collider Video on Mondays and Wednesdays right now at 11 o'clock a.m. But I think next week we're moving to 9 o'clock a.m. So be sure to follow me on social to know more about that. And if you guys are fans of anime, we have a new show on the Twitch channel that I work for that is twitch.tv/hyperRPG. That's hyperRPG on Twitch, called Hyper Otaku. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Death Note movie. Oh. Actually, we're going to be talking about all the versions of Death Note.
Oh,
but
yay!
We're going to be ending up, oh boy. Oh, that was a time that occurred.
That's at 6 p.m.,
so join us for that tomorrow.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I read articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. I was actually just on the Horror Guys show. They're the con guys, but it's Scare Guys. My bad. I was just on that right before coming in here, where we talked about a lot of things, including the Death Note movie. So be sure to check that out as well.
You can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can follow Alexis at atorres890. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm currently live streaming Dating Sims, and that's my life right now because I've never played one before, and it's amazing. Robots in Disguise is on Tuesdays. Z Nation should be back in a soonish manner. That comes back at the end of September. And I am on Geek & Sundry's Gather Your Party, Friday nights, 9:30 p.m. It is super fun. Y'all should tune in, twitch.tv/geekandsundry. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next season.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Am I a leg?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.